AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on. have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Angelo. With me, as always, is Alex. And Alex, I was going to save this for the Thursday episode, but I'm invoking a new rule. I reserve the right to change my pick after I know what you have selected when I go first.
Maybe. Hey, what's going on, guys? Maybe that should be reversed, though. Could it be reversed?
No.
At this point, we do not know which one of us is bringing the bad luck.
No, I reserve the right to change the pick.
So, for those of you who've been following along the little competition that we tend to do, I realized afterwards that I did not call out the mineral picks in the last Thursday show. So, on those, just before I forget as well, because that tends to be something that slips my mind, I had my gold pick, the Saints, +1.5. That lost. The silver pick was the Dolphins, +6.5. That lost. The bronze pick was Washington, +8.5. That's still to be decided. Angelo, bronze pick, the Chargers, +1.5. That lost. The silver pick was Tampa Bay Buccaneers, -6.5. That lost. And the last one that was looking very good until the end, the 49ers -8, that loss as well. So I just want to say that in the mineral picks, Angelo, right now you've picked the minerals 3 times. So each mineral 3 times. You have gotten 1 pick right.
Yeah, that's rough.
You got a gold mineral right on week 1. Last week, you lost all 3. Last week, I won the silver. So I've won 1 bronze, 1 silver, and the rest has gone to crap, basically. But yeah, on games that we both picked the same so far, I don't know what you picked in the last two games, because we have a doubleheader this week. But on the 8 games that have been played that we both picked the same side, we've gone 1-7.
Yeah, that's why I'm reserving the right to change my pick.
Maybe you're the one giving bad luck. That's all I'm saying.
No, I'm not. You are.
On the bright side, it looked like overall this week was a bloodbath for anyone that used to bet or any influencer that you follow that gives up picks. So yeah, we're all in the same boat. Week 3 is almost in the books right now. And we need to talk about fantasy football for the most part. And what games have you watched, Angelo?
I didn't watch any of the games because I started my new position and it kicked my ass. I'm not going to lie. I watched some of the highlights. I watched Malik Nabbers prove he was the wide receiver one in this class.
I guess we can start with that. And I need to apologize. I need to make an heartfelt. No, I need to make an heartfelt apology to the listeners of the show.
To our Lord and Savior Malik Nabbers.
To everyone that is listening, actually. I mean, people make mistakes at times. I've made one. And it's tough to talk about it at times. It's tough to admit at times. But you need to do it. Because if you remember correctly, prior to the season starting, I said Malik Nabbers was a top 24 wide receiver. I was wrong. He's a top 12 wide receiver.
What did I say was the best feeling in rookie drafts, Alex?
Licking Malik Nabbers' button. And I'm an happy champ in our main league. The current wide receiver one in fantasy football is Malik Nabbers. And even though you believed in him and you thought he was a better wide receiver than Marvin Harrison.
No, I knew he was. I didn't believe in the Giants. And to be honest, do you doubt that thought process of not trusting the Giants' offense?
I mean, looking at everything, I said he would be a top 24 wide receiver, so very much so I doubt it, right? Because this is exactly what would happen.
No, you don't get to take that victory lap. You're the one who's sitting out here preaching to the choir, acting like Marvin Harrison Jr. was the next best thing since Jerry Rice. And no. He's a good wide receiver. Don't get me wrong. Malik Nabbers is the best wide receiver in this class.
And yet you didn't believe he would be a top 24 wide receiver. That's all I'm saying.
I didn't believe in the Giants.
That's your mistake. I mean, I laid out the exact scenario. I laid out the exact scenario in which this would happen. It doesn't matter if the offense is good or bad. When he's getting 10-plus targets per game, which he got in week 2 and in week 3, it simply does not matter because he is good enough that he can be the number one option for a team right away. And like, it doesn't matter how good or how bad the Giants offense is. Everything is going to get funneled to him. He is the offense at this point. So when you have a target share as high as he does, and you are as good as he is, it just becomes easy to be a top 24 wide receiver. So. And he's going to finish there. I mean, he's wide receiver one right now. In total, I believe he is the third overall player in terms of PPR scoring. So I'm taking that victory lap, Pendulum.
Oh, my God. Now you're sitting here taking a victory lap and a guy you thought was the second best wide receiver in the class? Oh, get out of here.
And to be honest, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the 11th ranked wide receiver in PPR scoring. And he has, if I'm not mistaken, he has the highest, I can double check that stat, but I believe he has the highest percentage of uncatchable passes thrown to him right now. So higher than Malik Nabbers. But I'll double check that right now. I don't want to fool our listeners.
Into believing Marvin Harrison Jr. was the better wide receiver?
Now, he is the third worst, yes, the third lowest catchable target rate. 52% of his targets are catchable. Only 52% of his targets are catchable. So, hey, I like both guys. I just thought one of them would finish top 24 and you didn't.
You're just wrong. So. You were just wrong. Say you were wrong about Malik Nabbers and say Malik Nabbers is the better wide receiver right now.
I think they've both been equally as good. Like, when you look at the play and don't look at just the targets, because the targets and the production, the Cardinals have a whole lot of players. They have Trey McBride as well. They have Michael Wilson taking targets as well. They have James Conner. They have a good rushing attack. They have a whole lot of players that can help out the passing game. And the Giants have no one outside of Nabbers. Like, the rest of the receiving core, I guess, like, Wandale Robinson is a thing at times. But the receiving core is very shallow. I'll say, though, that he is playing at a level higher than Marvin Harrison Jr. right now. That's not to say that I don't think Marvin Harrison Jr. has been playing well. I think he has done a lot of good things. And I think he has done a whole lot of impressive catches. Like last week, like the first touchdown catch that he got was absolute massive. The reach for the second was also great. And this week he got a very good he got a very good touchdown catch as well versus Detroit. So he's getting separation, he's playing well. Yeah. I don't think it's a situation of like one guy is definitely better than another. I think they've both been at a great level. I just think Nabers has been asked to do more at this point because the offense needs him to do more. And he has risen up to that challenge. Let's put it like that. So as a Malik Nabers owner in our main league, I'm very happy with that pick. Let's put it at that. And let's do this. Let's do this. Because if you remember, prior to the season start, we played keep trade cut, right? And we looked at the players, this or that, the wide receivers in the top like 15, if I'm not mistaken. And we went through a bunch of scenarios of this or that with the rookies, especially the top two rookies.
Yep.
And my whole argument back then was that both Nabers and Marv could be right up ahead with the CeeDee, the Jefferson, and the Chase. Purely because if the hype reaches, if they reach their hype, they're going to be that high or probably even higher. And right now, I mean, it's 3 weeks in. People have been going up on the keep trade cut. People have been going down on keep trade cut. So I think it's good to look at that right now. And I think we can take a quick look at here at what we think in terms of the wide receivers. So I'm looking right now at the wide receiver ranking. And I'll ask you, this or that, Marvin Harrison Jr. or Justin Jefferson?
Justin Jefferson, easy.
Okay. Jefferson is ahead of Marv, but they're both on the same tier. Marvin Harrison Jr. or CD Lamb?
CD Lamb.
Just so you know, CD yeah. Lamb right now is the wide receiver 17. Marvin Harrison Jr. is wide receiver.
Where? On non-superflex?
No, I'm saying PPR. PPR, their ranking for the season, that is.
Oh, okay.
CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver 17. Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver 11. But Keep Trade Cut does have CeeDee Lamb ahead. Marvin Harrison Jr. or Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Keep Trade Cut says Marvin Harrison Jr. is ahead. As I was saying, this was the entire point of Marv 1-for-1 for Amon-Ra. You could probably even get more with Amon-Ra alongside Marv, that is, for Amon-Ra. When we talked about this in the offseason, it's just he's reaching the hype. Like, he has not had like a Malik Nabers season, but he is still having a good season. He's a wide receiver one at this point. So he just needed to do that to reach this type of hype. And he is rising. Like, every single day he's rising, Marv. So Keep Trade Cut has him ahead of Amon-Ra. Malik Nabers or Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Oh, Malik Nabers.
Malik Nabers is behind Amon-Ra St. Brown right now. By one spot. He is at the very top of the next tier. Malik Nabers or Ja'Marr Chase?
Malik Nabers. I hate to say
Malik
it.
Nabers is ahead of Ja'Marr Chase. I didn't really Ja'Marr expect
honestly
this.
Has fallen. Ja'Marr's fallen.
He is falling. He is falling. Isn't right now he's wide receiver 6 on Keep Trade Cut.
Yeah.
So Malik Nabers or Nico Collins?
Excuse me?
Malik Nabers or Nico Collins?
Malik Nabers?
Nico Collins is wide receiver 7 right now. But Malik Nabers is ahead.
That is recency bias. That is 100% recency bias.
Yeah, he is jumping up a bit. He was right around, what, he was in the wide receiver 15 range. Now he is wide receiver 7. Malik Nabers or Garrett Wilson?
Nabers.
Nabers is that, yeah. Malik Nabers or A.J. Brown?
Oh, that's... I still think Nabers is going to be higher. This is Dynasty.
Yeah. He is a whole tier above. Actually, like, 2 tiers above. Because for some reason, they're missing a tier 3. But yeah. So, as you can see, I mean, we talked about the same exact scenario. A.J. Brown versus Nabers, A.J. Brown versus Marv. I believe at the time you said A.J. Brown. But, like, in this game of Dynasty, like, A.J. Brown is what is 27 years old. He just got injured right now. He's going to miss a few games. Soft tissue injury. How long will this hamper him? Could be for a good bunch of this season, even when he comes back. There's a high chance of re-injury with those soft tissue injuries. These young wide receivers, like, they just need to reach the hype or to even come close to that. And they immediately take a huge bump up. So again, for next season, when you see a wide receiver with this sort of hype, with this sort of potential, you need to jump on him immediately. That's always been my thing in Dynasty. This tier of wide receiver is the one that you absolutely need to nail before it gets too soon, because now you can't really trade for these guys anymore. Like, there's no one that will trade you Nabers at this point. Like, I have Nabers. You have Jefferson. If you offered me that right now, I don't know. I don't know if I would take it, to be honest.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And, like, you probably should, because Jefferson is only 25 years old.
Yep.
But it's hard, because you look at the production coming in, and it's not to say that Jefferson hasn't been producing, because if I'm not mistaken, he is wide receiver 2 right now, or 3. In full PPR, he is wide receiver 5, okay? So a bit worse than Nabers, but he's still super consistent. I mean, 15.9, 23.3, 20.1, those are very consistent numbers, a touchdown every week. But it's just like the appeal of the young guy, of the rookie, and what more could he be? It's just way too much, right?
Yep, nope, you're not wrong.
And maybe if the roles were reversed, you would think the same as well.
You think so?
I don't know. What would you say? If you had Jefferson, if you had Nabers, I had Jefferson, would you accept that 1-for-1?
I don't know. See? Well, I mean, it depends on the situation. Because in the situation I'm in now, yeah, probably. But if I was competing for a championship, I think I'd want the security blanket that is having Justin Jefferson.
Thing is, Nabers is the wide receiver 1, though.
He is.
And sure, it could be just a stretch.
I think part of us needs to hold our horses, because that's on... It's week 3. We're basically through week 3. That is on 2 games where he has caught 3 touchdowns and had something along the lines of almost 25 targets, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah, 30 targets.
30 targets. See. So, I don't know. I think that, get me wrong, I think Nabers is a great prospect, and I think he's going to be a future top wide receiver in the league. But I think prematurely placing him there in dynasty rankings off of 2 games is a bit irresponsible, I would say.
Do you know right now?
But I do agree with your point that if you think you have this guy, like if you're like me, you have Nabers, you pay what you need to pay to get him, because if he hits, there's nothing you are going to be able to pay to get him.
Yeah, I can definitely envision a world in which we're sitting here like this time next year, and Nabers is wide receiver 1, Marv is wide receiver 2, Jefferson is wide receiver 3, CD wide receiver 4.
See, here's Lamb. The thing. I don't think Marvin will get to wide receiver 2 this year unless the quarterback play improves.
But okay, I understand that. But if you look at this game, and I know you didn't watch the game, but from what I saw, Jones looked a bit better than it did versus Minnesota. And again, we look at these games and we're like, Jones has been
talking about Marvin. I'm talking about Marvin's quarterback play.
Yeah, and I'm saying Daniel Jones. My bad.
Oh, okay.
Jones, Daniel Jones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's call him Dimes. And you look at the three games that he played, and you have Minnesota lay the goose egg. I mean, he had 186 yards, two interceptions. I'm saying Jones as a
Daniel Jones. Okay. 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 Daniel Jones and Malik Davis quarterback. Got it.
Yeah, and then he goes at Washington, and he plays better. I mean, they have. He has around 180 yards, two touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. Runs for a bit as well, 32 yards on the ground. It's the first ever game in which a team scored two touchdowns. The other team didn't score any, and the team which scored two touchdowns failed to win the game. So that's quite impressive, actually. But they lose that game. And now versus Cleveland, he plays well. I mean, this is defense that is supposed to be good, especially at home. They're supposed to be a good defense. Daniel Jones goes in. He has around, 240 yards, two touchdowns passing. He runs for 20 yards as well on the ground. Now, the one game in which he sucked, it's what is looking like the best defense in the NFL, though. Because the Minnesota Vikings are the only team since the 2001 Saints who have gotten at least five or more sacks in each of the first three games. So, like Brian Flores. Yeah.
So, we acknowledge that the production that Malik Nabers is getting is mostly in due because the quarterback is awful, for the most part, and the head coach is desperately trying to keep his job. So Malik Nabers is getting 75% target share, which is, by the way, unheard of basically in the NFL.
Yeah, on the season, he has a 35.6% target share.
That's not sustainable.
That's probably not sustainable.
That's my point. So how do you, and that's the thing, again, this is Dynasty. So how do you project his production with less volume? After, unless you think Malik Nabers can save the Giants, after Brian Daboll gets fired, after Daniel Jones gets canned and they replace him, how would you project his production then? Because even, and if your argument is he's 21, let me tell you this. Even if he's 20, whatever, 22, 23, when all this happens, as we've seen from Keep Trade Cut, there is a lot of recency bias, even in dynasty rankings. So it would take a hit, even if he's super young. I don't think it would be as massive as of a hit, but I do think he would take a hit if the offense somehow got even worse in a transitional period and he wasn't seeing the same amount of target share that he's seeing now because the head coach isn't desperate to keep his job and the quarterback isn't solely looking his way all the time.
Okay. What if we all jump the gun a bit too soon and the Giants aren't actually terrible and we just got that impression off of week one where they faced what is looking like one of, if not the best defense in the league. What if that's true? And the recipe for the Giants the rest of the season is target Malik Nabers. He's going to be the main playmaker. That's why they drafted him as high as they did. Daboll has a track record of getting this one guy hyper-targeted back when he was with the Buffalo Bills. Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen connection started there with Daboll as the OC. So what if he does that here as well with the Giants? The Giants aren't as bad as we thought on week one. They lost the first game versus the best defense. Okay, let's call it that. The best defense in the NFL. They lost the second game on a fluke game because they didn't have their kicker. Otherwise, they would have gotten the win because they couldn't just kick extra points at that point. They couldn't kick field goals. They couldn't kick extra points. Had they scored one of those extra points, they probably win that game. And they beat a team that should have a very good defense. Like, with all of that on the table, could it be that we jumped on the gun and the Giants aren't awful? Dable won't lose his job. Daniel Jones will keep hyper-targeting his guy because that's all he needs to do. Just, it's one to look at Nabbers, throw to Nabbers. It's what Darnold is doing with the Vikings. It's one to Jefferson for the most part. Of course, Darnold is playing very good. He's looking for other players as well. But so is Jones. Like, if you look, I've been sitting here and I've been saying that they have no other players and whatnot. But if you look at Wandale Robinson, I mean, he has 12 targets, 4 targets, 8 targets. Overall, he has over 120 yards receiving so far across the 3 games. You've gotten 44, 18, 61. He has 1 touchdown of the season. Like, he's having decent numbers right now as well. So he is a solid wide receiver too. And Jones is also keeping him in that line, especially for fantasy. I mean, he has gotten double digit in 2 games. He is currently wide receiver 32, so a mid wide receiver 3, a flex type play for Wandale. Like, what if the Giants just aren't terrible? And they, what if next week we're sitting here and they've beaten the Dallas Cowboys, who look very beatable right now because the defense sucks. The offense has a whole lot of struggles because apparently, like, Rico Dowdle is not the solution to a run game. Who would have known? And old ass Ezekiel Elliott isn't the solution to the run game. Who would have known? Like, what if they beat the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday Night Football? And all of a sudden, they're 2-2. Could make an argument that they could be 3-1 if they had their kicker for Washington. Like, did we jump the gun? Are the Giants not that bad? Is this their recipe for the rest of the season? I think this is all
possible.
So, here's
the thing. If your recipe is target one player and hope that carries an offense, yes, the Giants are that bad.
But it's not, though, because he's been targeting Wandale as well. I mean, Wandale has what? Wandale has over 30... No, Wandale has 24 targets right now. So, to Malik Nabbers, Malik Nabbers has 37. So, like, it's a decent split in terms of, like, wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2. And it's like, it's just that they are hyper-targeting the best guy that they have on the field. And sure, maybe the target share doesn't stay at, what, 36% the entirety of the season? But if it goes down to, like, I don't know, a solid 22, 23, 24, which is, like, for example, what CeeDee Lamb has with Dak Prescott, that's still going to be wide receiver 1.
I don't know if it's going to be a wide receiver 1 on the Giants offense, so that's the thing.
But that's because you still think that the Giants are no good. And I don't know about that.
I do!
But how do you know that? They lost a fluke game because they did not have their kicker. They lost the first game of the season versus the best defense in the team versus a team who's 3-0 right now and just beat the new darlings of the NFL. Like, they scored a touchdown the entirety of the game in garbage time for the most part of it. And they just beat a Cleveland Browns team whose defense is supposed to be good. Like, I think the Minnesota Vikings loss, as the season goes on, I think it's going to look like a quality loss, let's put it like that. I really could see them being 2-2 by this time next week. I'll tell you that much.
I think you have way too much confidence in this Giants team.
I don't know, man. I'm looking at this, and it feels like all of the preconceived notions of Daniel Jones being bad, the preconceived notions that the Giants offense in general is bad, like, they haven't gotten rid of that yet. Like, and I think, like, a lot of people went on to the season thinking like that. I know you did. You didn't really like their offense. Most people didn't. I thought they would be maybe okay. And then, like, they came out and they lay a dud versus Minnesota, and that just, like, sort of validated everyone's thoughts on it. But like ever since that, Jones played well. Daniel Jones played well versus Washington, played well versus Cleveland. I don't know, man. I really feel like this team isn't as bad as people think. And because of that, I think Nabbers is going to be a wide receiver one this year.
Guess we'll see.
Speaking of the Vikings and the new darlings of the NFL. So, are you ready to admit that the Vikings are contenders and are maybe the best team in their division?
They're not the best team in their division, but they're better than I gave them. But they're better than I gave them credit for.
If I would have done the contenders pretenders this week, I think I would have given the Texans pretenders. Just because.
You made an entire argument about how maybe Daniel Jones isn't as bad as we thought he was because the Vikings are a good defense, and now you're gonna give CJ Stroud and the Texans the shaft because they lost to them. Okay, go on.
Bear with me.
Please continue to move the goalpost. Let's go.
Bear with me here for a second. We now have 3 weeks of game. We have 3 weeks of NFL football. And much like I was saying about the Vikings loss looking better and better as the season goes on, I now can look at the Texans schedule and be like, they beat an Indianapolis Colts team that is riddled with mistakes. But, like Richardson. Again, this is very reminiscent of his college tape, which is the highs are incredibly high, the lows are incredibly low. Now you bank on the highs.
I don't know who could have seen that coming. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
I mean, that was his tape on college. His highs were great. His lows were terrible. And that's what he's showing on NFL right now. So they barely beat an Indianapolis Colts that looks to be ridden with turnover issues, with bad decisions and whatnot. They won versus that team by like, what, 2 points? Then they face the Chicago Bears on Sunday Night Football. And they win. They don't win that convincing, to be honest, versus a team that has a struggling offense. Let's put it like that. I don't think their offense is terrible, but their run game is non-existent. They have a rookie QB throwing the football. And they beat that team by, what, 6 points? 5 points? Like, on a game in which they had the ball to finish up the game and could have scored like a tying touchdown or a winning touchdown, that is. So right now, those wins don't look super convincing to me. And you go at Minnesota, again, maybe the best defense in the NFL. And you fail to score a point until the... I want to get this right. They didn't score a point until... Where are the box scores? I have the box scores. They are... Here they are. They didn't score a point until... I want to know if it's the third quarter or the fourth quarter.
So the Giants didn't score a touchdown against the Vikings, for the record. I want to...
They didn't score a touchdown versus the Giants. That's correct. But the team that should be like a playoff contender, Super Bowl contender, the new darlings of the NFL, they went on versus the Minnesota Vikings at Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A game in which they were projected to... They were 5-point favorites, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So they were 5-point favorites. Why aren't the scores? Okay, the scores are opening finally. And they didn't score a point until the third quarter. And that's the only point that they scored. They scored a touchdown. That's it. They didn't score anything else. They had CJ Stroud seeing ghosts quite literally. Like, they Brian Flores coached one heck of a game as well on defense, just throwing those crazy looks to CJ Stroud, who had no idea what was coming. Stroud looked lost out there. So now they have two wins that weren't all that convincing, and they got absolutely crushed by what could be the best, what could be the only good team that they faced all season. I don't know. I'm just saying that reeks of pretenders. That's all I'm going to say.
Reeks of pretenders, he says. Unbelievable.
All I'm going to say. Maybe they aren't as good as people thought. What do you do? Because we're talking fantasy at the end of the day. Or we should be talking fantasy at the end of the day. What do you do with Tank Dell?
What do you do with Tank Dell?
Yeah. And it looks very clearly like he is the wide receiver 3 in this offense.
Oh my God. Well, that is true, but can we just be honest? It seems like Houston is going to run in a very similar fashion to Green Bay, except maybe a little bit less predictive, in the sense that it seems like Houston is going to run flavor of the game wide receiver. And it wouldn't shock me if Tank Dell has a flavor of the game coming up in the next few weeks, quite honestly.
I think so. I think there could be Tank Dell games, for sure. But I think, unlike Green Bay, I think there's actually like a bit of a good order here. I think Nico Collins is for sure the wide receiver 1. I mean, he has had 8 targets, 10 targets, 10 targets. He has nearly 30 targets across the first 3 games. He's wide receiver 6 right now in PPR rankings. He has over 300 yards receiving. Then you go to Stephon Diggs, who also, I mean, he has 12 targets, 6 targets, 6 targets. Overall, he has 24 targets across the first 3 seasons, the first 3 weeks. He is wide receiver 10 right now, only 2 touchdowns as well. Like Nico Collins, if I'm not mistaken, only has 1. So it looks to me like Stephon Diggs has taken over a good bunch of what Dalton Schultz was doing last season. So underneath stuff, intermediate stuff. Nico Collins is just being the alpha out there, which leaves Tank Dell in a weird situation. So you look at Tank Dell, he started on the team on targets. The only week in which he out-targeted Stephon Diggs was week 1, if I'm not mistaken. After that, Diggs has been out-targeting him every week. The results aren't there as well. I mean, he's wide receiver 58 on the season in full PPR. So in redraft, especially, what do you do with Tank Dell? Because in Dynasty, you can just make the argument that maybe Diggs leaves, which I'm not sure. Like, they have a good connection there. Stroud is on a rookie deal. I'm not sure if they aren't just going to try and sign him if the season keeps going this way. But let's say Diggs leaves on Dynasty and all is good for Tank Dell next season. But in redraft, what do you do? Are you looking to maybe drop? Is he a droppable player? For someone better on waivers, that is. Let's say Juwan Jennings is laying around on waivers. And you didn't watch Juwan Jennings become like, what, the next iteration of Jerry Rice, but he had 12 targets, 11 catches, 175 yards, 3 touchdowns for a total of 46.5 fantasy points. He's wide receiver 4 right now in the season. So let's say Juwan Jennings for some reason is laying around in your waiver wire. Would you drop Tank Dell for Juwan Jennings, knowing that Debo is likely back in 3 weeks? Kittle is probably back soon. What are you doing in that scenario, for example?
That's a good question. I'm probably holding on to Tank Dell.
Yeah. You can't really trade him, I would think. I think dropping him is like picking up someone from the waivers is the only thing possible. Fun fact, though, Juwan Jennings is laying around in our Any Given Sunday league. Just so you know, A guy who scored 46 points is laying around on waivers.
Just chilling there.
Just chilling there. What about Jalen Naylor, the Vikings wide receiver, or Tank Dell? Naylor right now is wide receiver 29 on the season. Like the targets aren't great. He has 9 targets across 3 games. He has a touchdown every single week though. And he never had over 50 yards. But it looks like he has some sort of a role while Addison is out. I don't know how long Addison will be out. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's back this week. But what about those two? Who would you basically want more between those two?
Between Juwan and
between Naylor and Tank Dell.
Oh, Naylor and Tank Dell. Probably still Tank Dell.
Yeah. Okay.
Like I said, I think that Houston is more or less starting slow, and I do think once the offense ramps up, CJ Stroud is good enough to support 3 wide receivers. I just think that based on what we're seeing, it's more likely than not that Nico's going to have the game of the day, and then one of Stephon Diggs or Tank Dell will also go out. Let's not forget that last year Tank Dell was CJ one of CJ Stroud's most reliable targets. I don't think that this is just the end of Tank Dell, quite honestly. Even in redraft. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't think so as well, because last season, until he got hurt on week 13, if I'm not mistaken, which made him miss rest of the season, he was, as you said, a good target for him. I mean, he had a stretch here from week 9 to week 12 in which he had 11 targets, 14 targets, 10 targets, 8 targets. He always had around, like, his lowest score in that stretch was like 17 points for fantasy, which good check, but I'm fairly certain that's good for like a top 15 wide receiver in that stretch. Mm-hmm. Maybe even better if you got the whole stretch, and like in those 4 weeks he was probably like closer to a wide receiver 5 or 6. So yeah, I definitely don't think that he is done. I just think that unless you're playing best ball, it could be tricky to find out which week to start him.
That's fair. That's very fair.
And the only thing worse than a player that you know, like, it's hard when you have those players on your bench because you're always tempted by playing them because you know that the upside is there. But when they lay a dud, you feel terrible, and then you go and you see them next week. And then in that week, if they blow up, you're just beating yourself over it. And then you're constantly chasing points. And that's what's bad about those players. I would almost like rather trade them low-ish right now just so I don't have that temptation. Maybe package him with someone else.
He's like, best baller, I don't want to look at it. I don't want to look at the lineup.
Yeah, best ball, like, you can't even make trades for most best balls. That's the point of it. But like, for a regular redraft, I almost rather, like, trade Tank Dell. Maybe you look at a 2-for-1, for example. Tag him in with a player like, I don't know, like a Jordan Mason, for example, if you still have him. He's been producing well as well. I mean, not as well as the first week, but overall he's running back 13 on the season. So that's still very good. The fear that CMC misses more games is still very much a thing right now. So maybe look at like a package like that, like Tank Dell and a player that should have some value, but maybe not for the entirety of the season, and go try and trade low for a guy that has been underperforming a bit, maybe. Like, off the top of my head, I would say try and get, like, a Mike Evans. I think that's a deal that could be possible, for example. Like, you look at Mike Evans right now, and in full-point PPR, he is coming off of 2 disappointing games versus the Detroit Lions and the Denver Broncos. Now he goes and faces a Philadelphia Eagles team that they beat your Saints, and the defense looked good. But I don't know how much of that was actually a thing and how much of that was just like the National Fake You Out League being in full force there, showing you that any given Sunday is a different Sunday. So I'm still not sold that the Eagles defense has been magically figured out. But I think a trade like that
I think the Eagles defense is working with a bit of Alex cursed magic behind it.
Hey, could be. Your Saints definitely lost a bit of their mojo there. I'll say that much, Mike.
I told you. When you made the prediction, I told you you were sabotaging my Saints, and I didn't appreciate it. And look at what happened. You successfully sabotaged my Saints. Good job.
The moment something went wrong with the O-line, your team, your new favorite team, I guess, for
new
our show.
New favorite team?
It's not your that. Team. Your team is still the Bengals, but your second team. Let's put it like that. Your second team crumbled like a house of cards the minute something went wrong. Yeah, the minute something went wrong with your centers, the tackles, if I'm not mistaken, the moment the O-line went south, everything just crumbled. So I don't know if that's a good sign or not.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Like, Olave was still good.
Olave is one of the best kept secrets in football, it feels like.
Yes.
What?
I feel like. I don't know.
The Falcons.
Yeah, they faced the Falcons. And if there's one thing that last night game showed, is that their defense, at least at the back, is very good. Not say that much.
The Saints? Yes.
No. The Falcons. I was saying the Falcons last night versus the Chiefs. The secondary is very good. I'll say that much. You can run on them for sure. Like random Mac Destroyer, because that's the conference that he used to play on in college prior to switching teams. But Carson Steele, the Alligator Man, he had a very solid game for his first start ever in the NFL. And part of it is just that the Falcons defense is really soft on the run. But in passing, I mean, it's very good. And they have a bunch of ball hawks in that defense. Jesse Bates, you know him well. But they also added Justin Simmons as well in the free agency this offseason. They still have AJ Terrell as well in there. So I think that the secondary is definitely good. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a game in which Alvin Kamara gets another like 20-something carries, which I cannot remember the last time that I remember Kamara like having this amount of carries. Like he had 26 carries this week, 20 carries the week prior. I could be wrong, but he had one game with more than 20 carries the entirety of last season. So this is definitely a switch up in the overall like game plan for them, because he doesn't tend to get this sort of usage, especially like consecutive weeks. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's another Alvin Kamara.
Are you about to prelude the Alvin Kamara fantasy 40-point game and coming again? The explosion.
I don't know if they'll get the touchdowns. But I definitely think he's going to have a very good game.
I do think if they can't stop Alvin Kamara, then it won't necessarily matter if the pass rush can get there, because they're going to have to switch to focusing down Alvin Kamara. And then the passing will come. I do think it's a strong possibility the Saints are out the Falcons in this game. Don't want to give anything away, but unless Alex wants to jinx them again. If Alex wants to jinx them again, I'll gladly pick the Falcons.
And to figure out if I'm going to jinx them, you need to tune in to Thursday's show, where we will be making all of our picks again after a very rough week. At least it's looking like a very rough week.
Oh, it's a very rough week, regardless of what happens Monday.
Yeah. Neither of us is getting, I believe you have 5 wins right now.
Yep.
So with 2 games left, even if you get all of those, you're still sitting below .500. I I don't remember who you picked. I'm not sure if we're on the same side on any of them. I think we're on the same side on Washington, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we are. Because 8.5 was too much.
But I think you're on Jacksonville, right?
Yes, I am on Jacksonville. I think you are on the Bills, and
yeah,
congratulations, Alex. You cursed yet another team that's 2-0. You should feel good
about
this.
Most of the trends.
I am so confident. I am so fucking confident Jacksonville is covering that spread right now. I think they might even fucking win this game outright.
I wouldn't go that far, but most of the trends are with you. Let's put it like that. And I said that when we recorded the show. But again, there's no amount of money that can make me bet the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. So
okay, so then I know my bets in the future. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's go.
Yeah. Unless something drastically changes, you're free to pick them.
Every week.
Every week. Okay, so we talked about the Vikings. We talked about the Texans. We talked about... We didn't talk about a whole lot of things. We talked about the Eagles and the Saints, and we've been here for almost an hour by now. We talked about... Which game there? We talked a bit about the Chiefs as well. Okay, so rapid fire here. Rapid fire here. I'll read out the games that we're still missing. And I'll talk a bit about them in terms of like the fantasy players that are relevant in each game. Because I think I watched most of these while you didn't. So I'm going to give you and the listeners at home a good little brief of what happened in these games. Ready? Okay. The New York Jets, New England Patriots. Jets won 24-3. You could have slept through this game. The Jets ran the ball all over the Patriots. Braylon Allen is actually a threat. He looked great out there. The Patriots looked better in the, one drive that Drake May had than they did the entirety of the week, of the night, to be honest.
Under Jacoby Brissett. Looks worse than we thought it was. The Patriots offense is probably a bottom five offense. That's probably an accurate prediction.
And they ain't 5-4, so let's leave it at that. But their defense is still good. I mean, they played very well versus Rodgers, but this is probably the best game that Rodgers has played as a New York Jet at this point. He looked very good out there. He looked fluid. He looked like he could move very well. A very much improved Aaron Rodgers versus what we saw in week one in general. So... And, like, I think Mike Williams will eventually become a thing because he had a touchdown play there that he almost had. You can see that the connection with Rodgers is starting to pop up. I wouldn't be surprised if he moves a bit from Lazard more towards Mike Williams because he tends to be the type of wide receiver that Rodgers likes. So if you have Mike Williams in your waivers, give him a look. And we spent way too much time on this game already. This game was terrible.
Game was terrible. Absolutely.
The Indianapolis Colts beat the Chicago Bears 21-16 in a game that neither QB wanted to win. Both QBs were making stupid mistakes. I mean, in the game of my two favorite sons, neither of the sons did well. Both won. Yeah. Yeah, both wanted to lose that game fairly hard, let's put it like that. But hey, Caleb Williams, over 300 yards.
How many more weeks of this before you're off one of those bandwagons?
I don't know. I think I'm not going to be off of any because, one, I think Caleb Williams has been playing fine for a rookie. He hasn't been like...
Improving. He's been steadily
improving. Yeah. And this week, although like those 300 plus yards that he passed for were, I felt like fairly empty because I really don't think they're going to pass the ball 50 plus times every single week. He still had a few details in there that I really liked. I still think he made a few good throws. And hey, he leads any rookie QB in touchdown passes. Hey, he has two. The rest has none. So That's a win in his book. But he looked improved. It didn't look like he was making the... he did make interceptions, for example. But they didn't look like those interceptions that I was that he could be criticized for trying to make those college type plays happen way too much. No, they were just like maybe bad reads, maybe too optimistic that the wide receiver could make a play on the ball, for example. But I think overall it looked very good and fairly good, that is. And he had a few passes in there that I really liked in general. So. The main issue right now for the Bears is that DeAndre Swift looks cooked. I believe 50% of his run so far, he has been stuffed behind the line of scrimmage. So just great. He looks cooked. They looks like he has no juice left. They really can't set the run at any stage. I mean, their best running back this week was Roshon Johnson, who hasn't been active for the first 2 weeks of the season. So... the run game is definitely an issue. And until that's solved, I don't think they're going to win a whole lot of games in general. But yeah, that's basically it for the Bears. Also, come out game for the Romo Odunze. So he had, I believe he was a top five wide receiver on the week. So that's very good for him. Just based on pure volume, I guess. Then for the Colts, Anthony Richardson. The highs are high, the lows are low. Again, he makes... I read a tweet that sums up Anthony Richardson quite perfectly. It is that the good thing about Anthony Richardson is that he makes a pass that 99% of the league can't make. The bad thing about Anthony Richardson is that he can't make a pass that 99% of the league can make. So, until the last one is flipped... it becomes hard for them to win games, but I think eventually shit will settle a bit. And like, this was the first game back for Josh Downs. Josh Downs immediately went on to be the wide receiver 3 for this offense in terms of snaps. Alan I. Mitchell only played 7 snaps. Josh Downs played 32 snaps, for example. He is still behind Alec Pierson, Michael Pittman. But as the season goes on and he gets like more playing time and he gets better, healthier. I think he's definitely going to be the main target for Richardson. But that's basically it. Like, Richardson looks like a guy who was playing on his 6th or 7th NFL game.
All right, break my heart.
Which one?
Chargers, Steelers.
Okay, Chargers. Yeah, because we spoke a bit about the Giants and the Browns. Just saying, on the Browns, Bryce Young has been benched. I think the Browns have the worst starting QB in the league by quite a bit. That was just atrocious football being played. Just get Jameis Winston in. It's done.
I think the Browns might actually be a serious like AFC conference championship contender. Jameis is in there. Is that sad to say?
Hey, I don't really think so, to be honest. Like, I think, flip them. Like, Jameis Winston is right now, he's being QB sneaks, because God forbid Deshaun Watson gets hurt. Just let him get hurt. Then you have an excuse. Just let Deshaun Watson run the QB sneaks. Okay. Vikings, Texans, we spoke about that. Eagles, Saints, we spoke about that. Okay, Pittsburgh Steelers, the Los Angeles Chargers. I think I would have been right on that game if Justin Herbert had played the entirety of the game. But I believe he re-aggravated his high ankle injury. So he went out on like the 3rd quarter, if I'm not mistaken. Tyler Heinicke jumped in to play like 10 snaps. So that's the entirety of the offense that he got. Again, I still don't think that the Steelers team can beat a team that scores more than 20 on them. But so far, they haven't need to. And I think a whole lot of people will buy into this Pittsburgh Steelers because you have the Justin Fields fans coming out of the woodshed. Like, now there's 2 dozens of them. If he keeps winning, there's going to be more.
Oh my
But it's the funny part is going to be the end of the season, because they are, when you looked at the Steelers schedule, it felt pretty cakewalky to start. So now you have the Colts, you have Dallas, you have Las Vegas. You could make an argument that they will be 6-0 by then. But then you face the Jets, and you finally face a defense and an offense that can score points. You face the Giants, which you don't think so.
Oh, my God.
But okay. And then after the bye, they face the Ravens, the Browns, the Bengals, the Browns, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Baltimore Ravens, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Cincinnati Bengals.
That's a rough way to end a season, friend.
That's probably the worst way to end the season. Like, that 11 through 18 patch that they're going to have there.
Now, the good news is there is a chance they basically seal a playoff berth by their bye week.
And hey, at least they'll play the playoffs with Russell Wilson. Because no, Justin, then,
if they go 6-0, Justin Fields is not leaving that field.
Oh, he is. He is. When he faces the actual teams in his schedule, and he looks, he needs to try and make plays happen. He's gonna make the turnovers. He's gonna cost the team games. And Mike Tomlin, like, just gonna say that Russell Wilson's calf is like 100% now. All of a sudden, I mean, I'm calling it right now. The moment that he starts costing that team games. The moment that happens, he's out of there. Russell Wilson will be fully healthy. Okay. Broncos Buccaneers. Welcome to the National Fake You Out League. Buccaneers looked unstoppable. Broncos with Bo Nix looked rough to start the season. Broncos are just destroy Tampa Bay. But I guess any given Sunday is actually correct here. Never in a million years. I thought it would be close. Never in a million years I would have seen this, but here we are. Not really much to say there. Green Bay Packers, Tennessee Titans. Is Malik Willis the next QB that is going to be benched?
Malik Willis, when Jordan Love comes back, yes.
Oh, my bad. Is Will Levis the next QB that is going to get benched?
I think I'm trying to think of all the quarterbacks. I think he is the best candidate.
I think Minshew could be the one who gets benched first, according to the reports that have come out today, that Antonio Pierce has said that the job is open right now. Like, the door is back to be open.
But I don't know. Last week, but the Raiders haven't played that bad under Minshew in total through 3 weeks.
They scored 10 points versus the Panthers.
Yeah, that's kind of the nail in the coffin.
No, my bad. They scored 22. But like 12 of those came in garbage time. So, not the best calling card there. Like, I just think that Will Levis will eventually give your former OC a stroke by the way that he plays. And to be honest, this game, he didn't really make the stupid interception. Like, the interception just sort of happened. He didn't read the player. I believe it was J.R. Alexander that made the first interception. Like, Alexander was just like sitting there, and for whatever reason, Levis didn't see him, and he just threw the ball and went on to be a pick six. So that's fun. The backup is Mason Rudolph. From what I understand and from what I read from reports, he looked passable in training camp. I don't know.
Passable.
But at least passable is better than what they're getting right now.
We'll see.
But yeah. Hey, Malik Willis revenge game. Malik Willis actually looked quite decent. Like, for a guy that didn't really give a whole lot of shit to, like, I totally expect him to fold like an ounce of cards if he has to start again next week versus the Vikings. But for these two games, surprised me. Okay. Panthers, Raiders. Panthers win 36-22. Bryce Young maybe was the reason. And I will not take anyone else saying that Bryce Young is better than X or Y, because this offense went from scoring, if I'm not mistaken, Andy Dalton got the same amount of yards passing that Bryce Young has for the entirety of the season. I believe Dalton got that in the first half.
Oh, man.
So, it's
just rough.
I don't know.
That's just really rough, dude.
It feels rough. And all of a sudden, like, they have pieces in there that are actually, like, actual good players. And they're actually, like, viable for fantasy football.
And here's the crazy part. Obviously, Deontay Johnson had a good the game. They're getting Jonathan Brooks back, too. So, not only did Andy Dalton have, like, the backup quarterback boost, but at the same time, like, he's going to be the starter when Jonathan Brooks comes back as well. And if Jonathan Brooks is as good as advertised, then Andy's not going to have to do as much.
And Chuba Hubbard was a top five running back this week, by the way, despite Miles Sanders stealing the touchdown. And, I mean, Canales was very open about wanting to be better in third down, saying that that's the important thing there. He's keeping the drives alive, being good on third down, and they played that role very well. I mean, EPA per play on third down, they were 0.57. A success rate in the third and fourth down, they had a 53.3% success rate in there. So they executed in the parts that Canales wanted them to execute, and Andy Dalton looked like a pro running that offense. Now, is he not dust? Isn't he just going to turn back to a pumpkin next week? We'll see. But for the first game, he looked solid, and the Panthers looked like an actual solid team. And believe it or not, they're only one game behind the lead of the NFC South. So, maybe the season is alive after all.
That's crazy to think about.
Yeah. And, fun fact in this game, Antonio Pierce actually came out on the after the game and said that some individuals on the team were making business decisions, so he was now going to make business decisions as well. That's rough on week three, but okay, you do you. I don't know if that experiment is going to go over all that well, but I guess hiring a coach based off vibes isn't like the best play ever, but here we are. But yeah, it's week three, and there seems to be some issues in the Raiders locker room right now. Okay, next up, Seahawks beat the Dolphins 24-3. Skylar Thompson. Skylar Thompson.
Did not get the rookie boost or the backup boost.
No, definitely didn't. Bob, that looked absolutely rough, man. Geno still looks okay. He threw two interceptions. One of them was kind of on him, kind of on Charbonnet, I would say. Mostly on him. But if Charbonnet makes a better heads-up play, that's probably not a pick if he bets down the football, because it was just like a dump off from Gino to avoid getting a safety. So one of those picks was that. Charbonnet looked a bit better running the football. Now, I don't know if that's the Dolphins' defense being actual trash or if that's Charbonnet improving. Thankfully for us, we're probably going to have Kenneth Walker back next week. So we pray. And I'll finish out saying that Tim Boyle looked like a better QB than Skylar Thompson in like the, I don't know, one drive that he had or two. I think it's Tyler Huntley's job next week, most likely. The Detroit Lions beat the Arizona Cardinals 2013. Thoughts on this game? Gibbs and Montgomery are both good running backs. 100%. Low-end running back ones, I would say. For fantasy. Yeah. Montgomery has been actually playing fairly well. And if I'm not mistaken, I'll double-check that. But I believe his... Yeah, he is running back 8 on the season. Gibbs is running back 12. So they're both running back ones. Montgomery's ahead of Gibbs right now. He is, like, the split is nearly 50-50. He actually got more receiving work than Jahmyr Gibbs this week, which is surprising. Got more carries as well. So, yeah, both running backs are very good. Both should be, like, mid running back twos, higher hand running back twos, I would say, for the season. And you didn't watch the game, but there was a play in there in which I believe Jared Goff threw a pick six in that game, but the pick six got called off because apparently the snap was after the 2-minute warning. So they got the snap off supposedly after the 2-minute warning. Goff threw the interception, and after the interception returned for the touchdown, they said that the snap was after the 2-minute warning, so the play doesn't count. End of sus. Don't think I've ever seen anything like that. But yeah, both tight ends went out this game. Laporta was carted off to the locker room, I believe. He has a leg injury of some sort. For Trey McBride, it was a concussion that knocked him out. I wouldn't be surprised if he missed next week, so prepare accordingly. Yeah. So concussions are being treated like you miss basically a week right now by the NFL after the Tua thing.
Yeah, they're taking it
first. Yeah, but... this Lions team really doesn't convince me all that much. Like, they won by a touchdown. They looked like they were ready to give up that game. Any given moment, looks like a very underwhelming team, to be honest. After that, Los Angeles Rams, the Niners. I don't know how the Rams got that win, but they did. Like, I'm fairly certain, like, Stafford wasn't even completing passes at a point to start the game. They were down 14-0 after the first quarter. Going into the last quarter, they were down, what? They were down a score as well. Beats me how the Rams got this win, but they did. I'm very surprised. Brock Purdy actually played one of his better games so far. Juwan Jennings went absolutely off, but they couldn't put the Rams down, and the Rams got the win. And the team that you said was the worst in the division is now two games clearer of any team, and is one of the last four remaining teams that is undefeated. So I would like some props for my Seattle Seahawks.
They've played good to start the season. I'll give you that.
For Mike McDonald, first ever Seahawks coach to start 3-0. But hey, I'm liking it. Okay, Baltimore Ravens, Dallas Cowboys. I've never seen a team that starts off playing NFL and ends playing like an NFL team and ends the games playing like a CFL team. But that's apparently the Ravens this year. They cannot keep a lead. at any given point in the apparently, like, they were up, they were up 28-6 going into the fourth quarter. If you haven't seen the result, they won 28-25. So they allowed 19 points in the fourth quarter.
Crazy, dude. Yeah, the 49ers blowing all these leads is not good. This is not the 49ers team I remember.
We've moved on, Angelo. We're on the Ravens Cowboys.
I'm still there. I'm still there.
No, the Niners blew a lead that just wasn't that big of a lead. The Baltimore Ravens, though, that's back-to-back weeks in which they've gone into the fourth quarter winning by like two possessions and finished those games either losing or winning by like a field goal.
Barely winning.
So again, they are playing like an NFL team.
The Ravens are playing really good teams. I think.
Aren't the Dallas Cowboys good?
I don't know what NFL team is going to name.
I don't think they're good. I think their defense is quite soft. I think they have a star player that is likely the worst star player that I've ever seen, or at least the least impactful star player that I've ever seen in Micah Parsons. Like, sometimes I'm looking at my screen, just screaming for the dude to make a play, and he never does it. So when the team needed them to make plays this past week, this week, that is, didn't get shit done. And he wants to be the highest player defensive, the highest played defensive player ever, which I don't know about that. But yeah, the Cowboys aren't good. Their defense isn't good, in my opinion. But the Ravens, I will never trust the Ravens in a close game. And I'll never trust the Ravens when they're being given, like, I don't know. If the line is over a touchdown or like a touchdown, I'm likely going against the Ravens at this point because they seem to be allergic to winning games by more than a field goal. Okay, and finally, Chiefs Falcons.
Oh man.
Drake London, wide receiver one? Question mark.
Stop this.
I don't know.
Like in the offseason, you were like, yeah, man, I'll trade you Drake London for Justin Jefferson.
Hey. Drake London is playing well. Six catches, 67 yards, a touchdown. But Darnell Mooney has been way more involved than I expected in general.
Yes.
Eight catches this week, 66 yards. I like them as a sneaky play in terms of like his overall yards for the season. I believe that line was at 600 and something for the season. I think he's easily going to go over that. The main concern here is Kyle Pitts has sort of not done anything. Again.
Yeah.
How concerned are you about Kyle Pitts for Dynasty?
Pretty concerned right now, honestly.
Because this just looks like the same Kyle Pitts.
It really does.
That we just make excuse for every single year. What's going to be the excuse this year?
What's his face? Kirk Cousins coming back from an Achilles injury. He's about to look really good when Kirk Cousins is back to full Kirk Cousins form. That's probably.
But why is Darnell Mooney and Drake London actually looking good right now? And Kyle Pitts isn't.
Good question.
Bijan Robinson, not running back one.
He looks bad. This honestly.
That 1.9 yards per carry.
Tyler Allgeier was getting good rushes after that game.
He got one more yard than Bijan Robinson, and he had nine less carries.
Is it possible, maybe, that we kind of overhyped Bijan?
I think it's very possible. Or at least that we overhyped play in the Falcons offense in general.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, for fantasy, has still been okay. And yes, some of the receiving work is getting the touchdowns. So he's getting the important touches, I guess. So, for the Chiefs, Rashee Rice was a steal at this ADP. He had 12 catches, 110 yards, a touchdown. Travis Kelce is not back, I guess. Carson Steele is likely the guy that you wanted in the backfield.
Yeah.
That's basically That's it.
I mean, Pacheco got hurt. Pacheco looked good when he was on. But yes, Carson Steele being the running back when...
Until Pacheco is back, if he's back. Carson Steele is the guy that you wanted between him and Samaje Perine. I went with Perine in a lot of redraft leagues. That's not looking good. He still got some production. And I mean, to be fair, still at 72 yards on the ground, plus one catch for 2 yards. So overall, he ended the week on like nine. No, he ended the week on 8.4 fantasy points. Samaje Perine at 25 yards on the ground, 15 through the air. Plus 3 catches, so he ended the week on 7 points in PPR. So, that's fairly close. I feel like in games that are closer, you will probably see a bit more of Samaje Perine, or in games that the Chiefs are down, you will see more of Samaje Perine. And that's it. That's the game that we didn't talk.
That's all, folks.
That's all, folks. Okay, you have anything else to add, or are we out of here?
I don't.
Okay. Again, Sundays...
I usually try to reserve the energy for the prediction show.
Yeah, the Monday show is being recorded super late for our standards. So, sorry if there's any like lack of energy here. Bear with us. But yeah. Hope you enjoyed it. If you sticked around this long, just please leave us a 5-star review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Doesn't take a genius to find out what you do, how you do all of that, and it doesn't take like more than a minute or two. So turn on the auto downloads as well. Leave us a 5-star review. Leave us a comment as well, especially if you're listening on the Spotify app. That's always good. If you're listening on the YouTubes, do all of the things that you've been doing for quite a while now. And yeah, hope you had a blast on week 3. There's more things to come. There's, 15 more weeks to come here. And as always, guys, talk to you on Thursday.
The 49ers have scarred me. I'm still in the 49ers game.